Yeah, hello. Welcome, Paula. My name is Heike, and we're talking about how would you hack companies' mobile devices? So I think everybody knows you, but just, introduce yourself.
Yes, so hi everyone, my name is Paula Januszkiewicz, and what I do for a living is a penetration test. So my job and my passion is clearly security within the different kinds of areas. And that's basically it. I'm speaking at Tehet. I got 4 sessions. Today I finished just the first one, so I'm very happy. Another one is coming, so it's a pretty busy day.
So yeah, I think because mobile devices, they are getting more and more popular. But mobile devices are not just smartphones or pads. So we're talking about tablets and laptops as well. So how would you start like attacking or hacking a mobile device? Let's start with the tablets and laptops.
Well, first of all, a good way to attack the device is to steal it. So whenever there is like some device left, if someone is targeting a specific person, the easiest way to do this is just to grab this device and simply run away. And we've heard about many stories like that. But then the question is, of course, what the certain person is going to do with this device. Yes. So that depends very much, first of all, how the device is protected. If, for example, this was a targeted attack, there is one thing that we should always take into consideration whenever we are authenticating or like putting the PIN on the mobile device. Try to do this whenever you can in a kind of secret manner, because someone can be standing next to you and that might be the thief of your device in future, so you never know. I mean, it's a very obvious but also a pretty simple advice.
Exactly, and so this is the a problem that I'm facing like every day, because I'm standing around with people and unlocking my phone and it's the PIN all... Yeah, always the same PIN. And after, I think, 2 or 3 times, everybody knows my PIN. So what should I do to protect my PIN? And not only like hiding it or going somewhere else to just unlock the phone.
Well, there are different kinds of applications that can authenticate you to your phone, starting from your fingerprint, for example, ending up with, for example, some specific long passphrase that even when someone is standing next to you, this person will be not able to clearly read it. But on the other hand, here comes the comfort and security, and there's always a struggle in between these two things. So basically, the fingerprint scanners, the fingerprint readers for the phone, it is a pretty good idea that a couple of people are already using.
Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good solution because it's relying on your fingerprint, not on the specific code. And if you want to like use the administrative code for the phone, then you can use the very long one and you don't really have to do this in public.
Yeah.
So this is the approach.
Okay, but that's for the phone, right? So
yeah.
I think for the laptop or for a tablet. Okay, for tablets, you have maybe a PIN for some pads.
You got a picture password, yes?
Yeah.
Picture password is also pretty specific. It's kind of like, again, someone needs to be targeting a person, because whenever you see the picture and you are like pressing the certain places where the where you have to of course touch to be able to log on to operating system, someone also can spot that. Yes, but again, it's very accurate, so maybe you can just touch the details or try to do this in secret. Fingerprint scanners for the laptops, it's always a good choice.
Yeah.
From the like authentication perspective. So these are the ways how we are able to, of course,
but
access devices.
If you would find a laptop that someone lost or whatever, and what would be the data you would be interested in? So what would you look first for? Like,
well, first of all, the very basic question and the very important question is how we are getting in, yes? Because if the disk is encrypted using whatever technology, could be the BitLocker, yes, then there is not much you can do. But
not much.
Not much. not much, exactly. But the only thing you can do, it is that whenever someone has a FireWire port enabled, the FireWire port has a direct memory access, and then you are able basically to connect directly to the victim's laptop and make a memory dump. So whenever we are using any kind of encryption technologies, we should always remember about disabling FireWire. And this is like the number one, the most important step.
Okay.
But of course, if the laptops are not encrypted, then you are able to easily get inside, either just to take a drive and connect to somewhere else, or you are able to boot from the always in your back USB stick. And that USB stick, of course, it might be even the pre-bootable, the Windows installation.
Yeah.
And then basically you were able to boot up from the USB stick, and then you were able to do the offline access simply to the specific kind of data. What I will search for?
So what kind of data would you look for, search for on the laptop?
Well, anything, really.
Anything.
Anything, really. First of all, like the company relationship. So what kind of company this person is working in. Then, of course, I will check for a couple of ways how we are able to access this company, like VPN connections. Maybe someone stores and saves the password within the VPN connection so that it's just enough to double-click the icon and then you're connecting, yes. So this is what I'm going to search for. And then when you've got such a device, you're getting into the infrastructure. So I will search for such things. There is also, I'm pretty sure, because we see this within our customers, there's probably also a bunch of hashes saved within this mobile device. So it might be, for example, the hash of the administrator's passwords. So I will search for this kind of stuff.
Okay. So, but we don't want to make it complicated for the user. You were saying, okay, maybe the user stores the password and the VPN connection. I like that, to be honest. So because I just want to use my device. So it's like multi-factor authentication a way the user, the company should set up the device for like every connection the user would have to use?
Yeah, well, basically within every device, and not only the like mobile device, also the even standalone workstations or anything like that, the combining couple of components is always a good idea within securing environment. Because if we do even have the multi-factor authentication, but we still do have an offline access, I mean, this multi-factor authentication can hide, yes?
Okay.
So we are still getting access to the device. So we need to combine a couple of solutions, like, for example, some cryptography to encrypt the device or encrypt the drive or encrypt a certain place within the device where the corporate data is stored. And then on the top of it, we can implement a couple of more things like the multi-factor authentication,
okay,
the usage of the smart cards, and a couple of other things that, yes, this is additional thing that is preventing getting access. But offline access is the most important thing.
Okay. So what can a company do for mobile devices in the sense of bring your own mobile device? So because the PC, the laptop is not company owned, so there are no group policies or other security mechanism from the company. So what would you recommend to use?
Well, this subject is like crawling a little bit, yes? So we are getting into that point. The same story, obviously, is with Azure. I mean, still, there's a lot of people that even don't know what's Azure, and the same story is with this subject. So the solutions that we've got, some of them are pretty advanced already, and some of them are like still going on. And we do have a pretty cool solutions that are available from the Microsoft side regarding the mobile device management, and not only from Microsoft side, of course, because it's not only Windows device that we are managing, right? So we've got iPhones, Android, and so on. So basically, whenever we've got that approach, we've got two things that are coming on from Microsoft. Well, actually three. One we've got, first is Intune, to manage the mobile devices. And another two things are very nice to manage the tablets. One is basically the work folders. Mm-hmm. And it's not only really for tablets, but it's kind of with tablets in mind. You can take the data from the company, certain kinds of data from the company. And you can, for example, work from home or wherever you want from,
mm-hmm,
instead of like taking the USB stick, plugging it in, and taking the data out. And another thing is called Workplace Join. And this is the solution that allows you to like be halfly kind of joined to the domain. So your device is enrolled within the company's policies. So for example, you need to use the complex password and your firewall must be on and on the tablet device and things like this. And if you agree to those policies, you are able, of course, to use the corporate resources. And the look and feel, it's pretty much similar to direct access because the device is like, it's in the domain, but it's accessing only certain kinds of resources.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if I'm working from home and I'm halfway domain joined, so workplace joined, then I'm able, for example, to just query a local server and then enter the corporate data.
Yeah.
So this is also the approach that we can take. And yeah, we accept your device as long as you accept our policies.
Yeah, at least some policies. You don't get the group policies because I think it's not an object, like a computer object, mm-hmm. but the device is well known in the directory and you can use it for
exactly.
accessing data.
So you can remotely wipe it and this kind of things.
Oh yeah, very important, I think. It's not only for laptops. I think this is for any
tablets, for mobile devices.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah, yeah.
For any kind of platform that you've got. This is a pretty common practice, yes? So whenever someone loses the device, it's kind of ironic, I would say, because if you lose the device, how you are supposed to call the company that you actually lost it, yes? But whatever, just, you know, talk to some nice guy on the street, like, I'm sorry, can I use your phone?
Can I use your phone? I need to wipe my phone.
My phone was stolen. It's going to be all so sad. Of course you can. And then you call the, you know, shopping
So you also mentioned work folders. So work folders is a way to take data offline with you.
Yes.
So similar to OneDrive for Business from a SharePoint perspective, and you sync the files hopefully via HTTPS.
Yes.
And how do those files get protected?
So basically there are a couple of ways, yes, how we can do that. Not really long time ago, Microsoft implemented, released the update to ADRMS. Mm-hmm. And this is pretty cool right now. It was literally a couple of weeks ago. And there was always this case that within ADRMS, so Rights Management Services, you are able to protect only the Office documents. And yep. there was always this like, oh no, but this is only for Office. Right now, not really. Right now, it is for any kind of file that you've got. You can protect any file you've got, starting from Office documents, ending up with a PDF,
files,
for
yeah,
example,
yeah, yeah.
which is amazing because it's a really good change within all these approaches. Otherwise, you could always use the Adobe or Foxit or any other PDF-related brand
yeah.
Engine to also protect PDFs. So there was like, whatever the extension you've got, you need to use appropriate engine. And right now, everything is combined in one place. Really cool.
And the user don't have to think about it, so because it's already protected in the folder.
Yes.
And maybe some policy says as soon as the user saves something in the folder, it gets protected with
exactly.
a specific yep. template.
You can set it up like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's switch a little bit to the mobile phone, so smartphones as we call them. So is there any... Are there any well-known common attacks to those kind of phones, and how would...
Well, I would say that Android is pretty much the platform that is number one from the attack perspective. That's because it's like a kind of open platform, mm-hmm. so you are able to do whatever you want. Some people like it, which is great, because it allows you to do a lot of things, but there's also the backside of it, yes? So Android are the phones that can be very easily jailbroken. And then you can have your own version of the operating system
yeah.
on your phone, which we sometimes doesn't know where we come from. Of course, we are not like just a blind users working with our phones and installing whatever operating system we've got. But still, it's really hard for sometimes to spot that there is something malicious coming to our phone.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were mentioning jailbreaking a phone. I
yeah.
think there are possibilities for a company as well to, like, if we manage a device, we don't want jailbroken devices.
Yes.
So this is, I think, a good approach to the companies
with
to
an Intune,
decline
yes.
to
the jailbroken
yeah,
devices.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is a good thing. I mean, that depends on the company, of course, what kind of brand the company is using. But, of course, we can block the devices like that.
I think there are ways to jailbreak kind of any device. Maybe it's called different, but yeah. And then, of course, we were talking about that before, apps. So
mm-hmm.
because the mobile devices, you can download apps as many as you want.
Yeah.
So is there anything we should tell the audience they should take care of?
Well, from the threat perspective, the Windows Phone platform is pretty secure because all of the apps are isolated from each other. We were discussing with our team a couple of scenarios, of course, how the threat can be brought to the phone. Yes, but this is still like ongoing subject in between us. But one of the things is that whenever you've got an enterprise managed solution, you can bring your own apps. Yes,
mm-hmm.
and that can be the potential point of entry. But again, more is like a case study. And and a proof of concept rather than something concrete. From the Android perspective, of course, the situation is a little bit different, yes? Because, and this was quite popular not really a long time ago, there were some applications that were, this was like a video player, and then when you were installing that, that locked your phone and it asked you to provide the payment in $500, and then if you don't provide it, then you are not able to access your phone and that kind of solutions.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Just for a video player, yeah?
Think about it, because maybe we could figure out something. But anyway, yeah, and for iPhones and, of course, the Apple Store, all of the applications in general, and that's the purpose of such stores, are reviewed. So these platforms are pretty secure, but, of course, as we discussed, Android is always a challenge.
Because they review what the app is doing, right? So before the app is getting in the store,
it's getting reviewed from many perspectives, and then it's getting, of course, to the store. So your app cannot really go through if it's not reviewed within the store.
Okay. What about viruses specific for mobile phones? I think it's the same, right? For like,
it's a pretty interesting subject, you know, because for the Windows phones, we don't really have such things, at least for now. Yes, mm-hmm. Maybe tomorrow it's gonna, something big is gonna happen. The things are pretty important. I would say rather outside the device, because whenever you are connecting somewhere and using someone's internet, then you can of course go through someone's proxy, and then the threat may happen. Yes, yeah? Yeah. So it's more like a little bit outside the platform. If of course we are discussing the mobile devices. So this is basically that. And from the viruses perspective, of course they are, but also for the different kinds of platforms, yes. So that depends how the applications, of course, are managed.
So on mobile devices, we have all those. We have them on laptops as well and tablets, but especially on smartphones, there are things like Wi-Fi connection, Bluetooth connections, NFC. Any recommendations from your side how to work with those connection types?
Well, one thing is always real for like any kind of device, and also for the mobile devices, is that we should not, obviously, and that's a kind of obvious advice, connect to the Wi-Fi's that we don't know, because it might be someone's Wi-Fi.
But they're open and free, and I can use the bandwidth, and I can download everything I need. And
but you don't know who is managing the access point, yes? It might be me. Managing the access point, yes. So whatever, it might be someone, yes. So we can set up the access point that looks like free Wi-Fi or whatever, airport Wi-Fi. And I mean, of course, people's gonna connect. And if you provide a good internet connection, which you will do, obviously, then they're gonna connect through your access point. So the same, of course, it's the same approach is for any kind of device that we are using.
So, but you were mentioning, okay, there is a free Wi-Fi spot at the airport. It's called free. Wi-Fi spot at airport. So how should I know if it's the right one or not?
It's actually a very good question, yes, because first of all, on the mobile device, you can configure the VPN connection to the company, yes? So you can basically use, whenever you are planning to use this kind of Wi-Fis, well, let's say it's quite all right if you really have to, but we need to, of course, behave in a secure manner. So for example, first of all, you can VPN to your corporate network and then use the internet from over there. So this is a good approach. Another thing is that instead of connecting to the Wi-Fi through your mobile device, just use the roaming option. And of course, I know, it's like expensive and so on, but right now it's actually getting pretty open, yes?
Yeah.
And I got a pretty good roaming package for all world. It's not for free, of course, but it's there,
yes?
It's not expensive like a couple of years ago, one year ago.
Yeah. You couldn't afford it.
Exactly, that was some pretty expensive stuff. So right now, these things are getting more popular. Try to use, and this should be always the approach, as private networks as yours as possible. So roaming is a good thing, data connection on the phone, and also connecting, of course, through VPN on the mobile device to the company and browsing the internet from over there.
Yeah.
And when the company is, of course, managing the mobile devices, that should be one of the things to reconsider if it's about the secure connections from the devices.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, so Windows Intune or System Center, Config Man, I think there are possibilities to enroll a VPN profile already
exactly.
to the user, so they don't have to set it up.
It's already connected.
It's already connected.
Exactly.
It's there, and you can use it. What about Bluetooth? It's a no-go, or?
Well, Bluetooth is first of all, Bluetooth is quite special type of protocol because very often within the Bluetooth configuration, we've got these pin codes like 1111 or 000.
Yeah, whenever the same, yeah.
Yes, yes. So basically, this is the threat that we've got. Yes, regarding the connection somewhere, but. As long as we use the Bluetooth in our car, it's fine.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always this security versus comfort, yes? So you can set up the PIN code that's going to be more difficult,
then
less
zero,
obvious.
Zero, zero, yeah.
Exactly. And that's how we are able to play with that.
Okay. Last question about the connections, NFC. Anything you can tell us about that? So because I can't just like easily tap something on the phone and it accepts. And I receive some data mm-hmm. from something.
I haven't really played with the NFC connectivity. I haven't been listening to that. So nothing really particular that I could mention regarding the security. But I mean, everything is wireless. So wireless is a physical layer. So basically any kind of sniffing approach, like for the same stuff, like for RFID, this is basically applying for
and
that
I think
as well.
Some of the NFC things, they use Bluetooth as well, so I have
yes.
to turn it on again, and then we are back at the Bluetooth topic.
Yes, yes.
So, and for all devices, if it's a laptop, if it's a tablet, if it's a mobile device, a smartphone, I think updating the system as soon as updates are available.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of critical updates that we've got all the ongoing within the mobile phones, and keeping everything up to date is always a good advice, yes?
Yeah.
Especially that hackers are not sleeping, and even with our team, we are doing the bad research for the good reason to find out what kind of stuff we can find also within the mobile devices and so on. It's kind of a hard subject, to be sincere, because it takes a lot of time to investigate how things are working inside. Because, for example, the Windows mobile platform is pretty closed. So to investigate everything, to monitor it properly, and to understand how everything is working to the bonds, it's kind of a long story. There were a couple of people that within the different kinds of hacking conferences that they were claiming that they managed to hack the mobile device platform from Microsoft, mm-hmm. but I've never seen things like that because it's, you know, we call it in Poland, it's a kind of strange saying, we call it suck from the finger, which means a proof of concept. Which means everybody's talking about it, but nobody saw it, like Yeti.
Okay. Websites.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about that before, accessing websites from a mobile phone. Let's talk about the Windows phone.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we should, as a company, decline or the user to...
Well, there's not much really we can do, but the threat that is a potential threat that can be for the Internet Explorer, for example, that we've got within the phone, it's the malicious JavaScript that we can basically run whenever we are browsing any kind of malicious website. So the good solution for that is basically the user's awareness.
Okay.
And people should know that they should not enter the websites that they are not used to enter every day and that kind of approach.
So question to you, so you're using a smartphone as well, and I'm pretty sure you have some apps like, I don't know, Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever. Do you store the password on the apps? Or do you re-enter the password every time you open the app? I saw some of the people that are doing that. So they type in their Facebook account every time they access Facebook. I'm too lazy for that. So my stuff is stored.
I kind of understand your approach. And basically, there's a couple of approaches how we can take whenever we are managing passwords on the devices. Because we've got different kinds of password managing applications. And if you are in the mood for entering password every time you log on to Facebook and so on, you can always use that. And then you just enter the major password, which is also that's what you enter on your phone, yes? And then you are able to pull the passwords for different kinds of applications from that particular database.
Yeah.
So this is one of the approaches not to remember, and you can copy and paste the password if you want to and so on. Another thing is, of course, comfort, yes?
Yeah.
You open your phone and then everything is working.
I love that.
Yes, but what we should pay attention to is whenever we've got like a third-party application, not like Facebook one, so we've got like the Facebook app, but there is some weather app that is asking us for the Facebook login credentials because it's going to like combine whatever the weather and
needs
our Facebook
the access
profile.
To my friends. I hate that.
For
yeah.
example, yes, so like Innocent Torch or anything like
yeah.
this, then we should definitely read.
Should be alert.
All the details exactly about that, because whenever you've got this Innocent Torch, and Innocent Torch allows requires access for your Facebook friends, then you've got also LinkedIn on your phone, and you've got also a couple of other identities,
yeah.
and then the question is, of course, what kind of data we are accessing to, especially that on the Windows phone, we've got access, well, of course, to the contacts. And the contacts in the Windows phone, this is the combination of all of the different profiles because
yeah.
you can combine everything in one
mm-hmm.
place. It works really nicely, but whenever you've got such an innocent torch, we should listen, we should read basically what is written within the conditions of usage such an app.
And it's the same for laptops as for smartphones. I should make sure that it's a secure website, that the certificate is valid and everything.
Well,
like if I get forwarded to like the Microsoft account login, because
mm-hmm.
provide your Life ID or Microsoft account,
yeah.
I should make sure it's the right website and not
it's
just the logo, right?
Correct. HTTPS, of course, it's always within such applications. And every respectful company and every serious company will never build in the authentication solution that is working within the HTTP.
No, that's true. So yeah, we had like security policies, of course,
yeah.
for a mobile device management. I think there are a couple of good policies that a company should take set in place,
mm-hmm.
like password. Strong password.
Exactly.
I'm not a fan of 4-digit PIN because then it's probably the birth date or like
yeah, but, you know,
something.
It's a matter of yes, you will be able to access the resources or no, you are unable to access the resources. The policy is like that. You want it, you take it or not. So strong password is of course one of the things.
Of
yeah.
course. Then protect the data on the
yeah.
phone
yes.
and on the additional
mm-hmm.
cards
exactly.
or something.
Mm-hmm. ADRMS, for example. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Protect the files, hopefully automatically, for the user's home folder
you
or work folder.
You can encrypt just the storage or either the whole phone.
Mm-hmm. I think the good thing with work folders, I want to go back to this,
mm-hmm.
is again, we can remotely wipe only the specific data, right?
Exactly.
So if it's bring your own device and the company or the user leaves the company or
mm-hmm.
something, we don't have to wipe the whole device, which is good for the user because it's like, no,
yeah.
I used it for my work
for
as well,
exactly.
but it's my private device.
Yes, and you've got the work folders, which is like very limited to the corporate data, and it's not the user's data, it's the corporate data.
Yeah, selective wipe, I think we call that.
Exactly.
And I think for every device that the user is going to use for a business need,
mm-hmm.
They should set up this or should make sure they can remotely manage the device with ask the user for a new password or remotely wipe
yeah.
the device or do some remote tasks.
Well, the amount of policies, it's not big, but it's good enough to treat the device securely whenever something wrong happens.
It just
yes.
need to make sure the device has some connection, right? So
yes, that's a pretty important thing. Exactly.
Yeah, but
exactly.
there's nothing
what should
we do. So
exactly.
yeah, you can't do like magic things and
yeah, totally. So as long as of course device is disconnected, then there is not much you can do.
No. So and then update the device, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some settings, whitelist or blacklist for apps or websites, maybe. It depends on how strong probably the security policies
are. Yeah, well, there are, of course, technologies like for even whenever you got a tablet that is enrolled within the company, you can use technologies like an app locker, that's as simple as this. And then you are able to disallow certain
yeah.
types of apps.
App locker, I think, is a good point.
I think it's a very good point, actually, because there is a lot of malware that is custom written. And whenever, of course, user runs something, like whatever, it might be the standalone application. The backside of the standalone application might be, for example, taking out all the users' data and publishing it somewhere on the hacker server. So within AppLocker settings, of course, user will not be able to run this executable. Therefore, it's a very good solution not only to control users, because it's not really the point. The point is that you are preventing the executables, unwanted executables, to run on your system. So this
and
is.
It's kind of easy to set up. It's a group policy.
Very simple.
Yeah.
You configure an executable rules, of course, and then you specify what should be the logic. You are either blacklisting, whitelisting, how does it work? You allow certain types of applications. So this is pretty nice from that perspective. Yeah.
But even if we like really lock the phone down, we don't want to make the user lose fun with the device, because then they start again using a different device that they can use for fun and work. So I think it's always a combination of teaching the users as well how to use the device.
Could be, but you know, if the user's phone it's not allowed within the mobile device management system, then user has no choice eventually. So user needs to use the phone that is locked because it's the one only one that is connected to the enterprise. He could use the other one, no problem, but not within our infrastructure.
That's true. So anything you would recommend at the end to the users, or what from the company, not to the users?
Well, what I will recommend is to have a look at the mobile devices management solutions, what kind of solutions are within the market. Rethink the policy, of course, of managing the mobile devices. In a lot of companies still, there is nothing implemented, and people are just connecting to the infrastructure with their different kinds of phones. One company within our customer, they implemented iPhones only, for example. Another one is using Windows phones only, and here comes the user and says like, oh, I want to use iPhone or I want to use Windows phone or anything like that. So we need to rethink, of course, the policy for managing different kinds of platforms if this is something that we are wanting. So this is the very pretty generic advice, but we are not really within the companies familiar with different kinds of platforms. And just to have a look and think what we can do within the future should be in the next budget plan, because the mobile device management and the data, as we discussed, this is the issue that we are struggling with right now. And it's not only about the phones, it's also about the tablets.
Yeah. And it's not just like data that I store on the device, take the file and I put it on the device, emails.
Of course. Any access to the corporate network, yes. If I see like someone's pin, I mean, we can actually have fun and we can go after the interview and let's see what kind of pins are people typing. And I'm pretty sure everybody is doing like this, and then it's super easy to spot that, yes.
That's true.
This is how you are getting to the infrastructure. This is the fastest way how we are able to do
and
that.
And it's quite funny when I have some sessions or IT camps and I ask the people, is it allowed in your company to bring your own device and have on the device some company data? Everybody's like, oh, no, not really. And then I ask them, do you use a smartphone? So, yes. Yeah, so are you using, do you have your corporate account on the phone? So, yes, yeah, but that's already a bring your own device. It's company data on the phone. It starts really with the simple things with like emails.
And of course, that very much depends what kind of platform we are using, yes, because as we said, some platforms are more vulnerable to additional software and some platforms are less vulnerable to additional software. So, well, that's the company policy.
That's true. So, okay, mobile device management, you were saying, for laptops, tablets, policies, protected data, maybe multi-factor authentication.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
There is Azure AD.
Yes.
With Azure multi-factor authentication out there, it's quite easy, simple to set up. It's a PIN.
Quite.
It's a call.
Yes.
It's... Yeah.
You can receive the message within the PIN to log on your mobile device and so on. So it's a couple of hours to set it up, really. If you like sit and focus, it's a couple of hours.
So we use this now in Microsoft as well. When I log on to some internal websites, I use the phone call. So I get a call on my phone and I Microsoft has my phone number because it's a Microsoft phone.
Yes.
So it can't be any other phone. So it's quite secure, and mm-hmm. I only get access as soon as I answer the call.
Identity management, it's a very interesting subject. It's a very long subject because not many companies are ready for that, yes? It's a cool thing, and when you implement it, it's just amazing. But of course, you need to struggle a little bit to adjust different kinds of applications that you've got so that they're going to accept different kinds of authentications, like federated identity and so on. So, but this is something, this is the future, it's coming. Everybody's talking about it on TechEd. There's a lot of sessions about federated identity and so on. So hopefully the guys will like the solution and they're going to implement it, because from the business perspective, it's very good. You don't have to manage the passwords. You just log on and then you are here and there and there. Of course, that raises another question, yes? What about if you lose that particular method of authentication? But that's why we've got a multi-factor authentication. Yeah. So you are able to combine a couple of things together, and you are able to log on securely with the basic security principle, something you have, something you know, and so on. And this is how we are able to access the infrastructure.
So can you tell us a little bit more about the identity? You were saying it's a big topic. So
yes, it is.
We have this, you can federate, you can synchronize your on-premise ID to the Azure ID, for example, and then use stuff like federate with other software as a service applications and...
Completely. So there are, of course, different kinds of vendors that we've got, yes? Microsoft is one of them. What you are able to do, you are able to establish a trust relationship, so a federation, mm-hmm. within a certain partner, whoever that's going to be, and then you are able to combine your own identities, and then you are able basically to log on with your own identity, so basically based on who you are, so claims, and then you are able to log on to the different kinds of application using your own credentials. Well, not even credentials, that depends how it's going to be configured, and then these guys is going to accept you because they trust you.
Okay.
So this is a simply speaking...
For the user, quite simple.
Yes. For the user, very convenient. For everybody, it's convenient because on the other side, on your partner side, normally within the different kinds of projects that we've got that we are running, sometimes the customer is like, okay, guys, so we're going to create you an account in our domain, and that's going to be one account for
awesome.
You three over here. And everybody's going to be, of course, using the same account. And eventually, I hope that they don't forget about disabling it and that kind of stuff. Yeah? So they have to manage identity that it's kind of not there. So within the federation, of course, the identity management approach, I'm not saying, of course, it's gone, but it's a little bit better from the technical perspective and from the security perspective.
There's one identity.
Exactly, it's just one. And based on the trust relationships, based on the federation that we've got with different partners, you are just the only one person logging in here, there, and there, and you are using different kinds of services.
Especially with all the apps. We are back at the topic apps. So lots of apps, they ask for credentials. And at the moment, many passwords. I have a password store somewhere, and I need to remember because I don't want to use the same password for all my accounts. But then you start creating some simple passwords because there are too many.
Exactly.
If not, you need to write them down somewhere.
Yes.
I think that's for everyone a good thing to have. One secure, strong password.
Exactly.
But you had a session about what your password is doing when you're sleeping or
when
something.
When nobody's watching. That was last year. Yes.
So remember. So I think password is a big topic. So how should it be? Yesterday you were saying, what is the password you should create, Hun? What was it?
I had a tuna sandwich for $10.
Yes. That's what was it?
I had a tuna sandwich for $10. That was the password.
Yeah.
So it's a good password. Come on.
It is. It has numbers. It has special characters. It has upper and lower case. It's long enough. It's awesome. So I have something like sometimes like, okay, soon is Christmas.
Yes.
And mix some...
That kind of stuff.
So we need sentences.
Sentences and something that is close to our everyday life, yes?
Yeah.
Because you're like, I have to invent the password that is like 10 characters long.
So we need to look at what you're eating the next week, and then we will look at the bill and guess your password.
I have to pay for TV or something like that. I mean, it's always a good approach. Of course, I'm kidding a little bit, but on the other hand, technically, it's a pretty good password, yes?
So, yeah, I think let's wrap it up. And I think we started already. So it's not only laptops and not only tablets, it's smartphones.
Exactly.
And it's not only Windows devices. Mm-hmm. We have Androids, we have iPads, we have iPhones. And we need to make sure that all those devices are secured, protected, managed when they access company data. But not only. I think also I want to be secure if it's my private device as well, actually.
Of course, of course.
So I'm not going to go and buy myself for my private device maybe a Windows Intune subscription, but I would like to know how to work with my mobile device and be a little bit... feel a little bit more secure because I turned off Bluetooth, I'm not accessing unprotected Wi-Fi's exactly. And yeah, so I think this is one thing.
And at the end, of course, it's not about the device, but it's about the data and access. And device is just a tool that we are using. So whenever the tool is lost, then we should be protected in such manner as well. So the remote and, in general, the selective wipe or the whole wipe of the mobile devices, it's a very good solution. But of course, that must be done immediately after the person loses the device.
Yeah, and I can also, I think with some phones, I can, if it's my private phone as well, I can remotely wipe it and delete it.
Yes, you can locate where is it and so on. There are services like that, even for the personal usage. Exactly.
Yeah. So managing all those devices, I think, is the best last sentence that we can say. So regardless the device type, manage them. As a user, you should get the benefits of feeling more secure, of course.
Yep.
Have access to data without remembering millions of passwords. And yeah, from a company perspective, you know a little bit better that the users are doing good stuff on the device and they're not...
At the end, it's a lot of work, but the effects are amazing.
I think it's a little bit of work now, but less work if you have
later. You just add another device to be managed and so on. I mean, of course, it's a new subject. So here on TechEd, there are so many sessions going on about that.
Yes.
And I'm sure that if someone wants to really implement that kind of platform, these guys will definitely get the knowledge how to do that. And everybody is like talking about it because it's a hot subject. So. Yep,
there are sessions, I think, I'm not sure, today or tomorrow about the new thing that is coming with Windows 10 as well that was mentioned in the keynote about the trusted apps on the phone.
Yes.
Untrusted apps, copy and paste between those things and how their data get protected on the device. So yeah, there are some more sessions
coming. Yes,
coming.
And I would definitely recommend the session of John Craddock because John Craddock is a super expert on federated identity, and he's got a session, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow. I think so at 10 o'clock, but I may be wrong to be checked. And he's going to talk about such things as well. And it's good if you guys have any questions to also ask John about that kind of things because he's going to be delivering session about that subject. So, and he has always an amazing and smart advice.
So can you just tell us at the end what are your sessions for today and tomorrow, so you have them out of your mind?
Yes, so I've just done the session about the mandatory hackers checklist. And this
awesome.
That was really cool. And that was a warming up session in the morning for me as well. And it was at 8:30, and it was really great. And it was like a couple of steps that you need to take as a hacker to become persistent in the infrastructure, to get in, to recognize the whole environment. So it was about that.
Okay.
Today, also at 3:15, in a couple of hours, I got a session about analyzing memory, both the dumps and also the live analysis, memory level 11 as it is. It's going to be hard because it's a pretty intense session from the technical perspective.
Yeah.
For myself as well. So it's going to be a long 75 minutes. And tomorrow in the morning, I got a session about, I call it CSI Windows. Uh-huh. It is about finding different kinds of traces of what happened after the attack.
Okay, cool.
So it's like this, like where we can search for the different kinds of information. And on Friday, and I really can't wait to this session, it's a session about what to do to make hacker pick someone else.
Yeah, I saw this. The title already is awesome.
Thanks. I mean, it's really challenging because, I mean, I really cannot like talk about the obvious stuff. So it needs to be something geeky. So I was really thinking for the past couple of months what to put in the session and so on. And hopefully the result is going to be good.
It will be good.
It's about different kinds of areas. Sometimes obvious ones we could suspect, but effectively not really. And some of them are not very obvious. I've implemented additional network-related solution that is not practice, but yeah. It's a good to have it. So let's see.
Cool, I don't want to
really talk and announce it. Let's attend this judge how it's going to be, because I hope it's going to be good. Anyway, I like it.
Yeah, so I will definitely attend your session. So thank you for now. Thanks for
so
the
much.
Interview. It was so good to see you, meet you, talk to you.
Thanks so
and
much.
And yeah, we will be back soon. Thank you.